I hope you have your Bibles tonight. We'll be in Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. And the Lord put this passage of Scripture yesterday morning on my heart, and I've been looking at it, and I hope that there's some things that we can find in it that might encourage us tonight, might help us. And when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The heart of Paul is really shown here in chapter 3 of the book of Philippians. And Paul's desires are revealed. And Paul describes in a very intimate way his desire for the person of Jesus Christ, that he might love him more, that he might serve him more, that he might know him, as he'll say in verse number 10. And verse number 10 is what we're going to look at tonight. But I'd like to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says this: "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, in which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." Somebody say amen right there. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ." I'm reminded of how John would tell us that in order for him to increase, we must decrease. Amen. If it's gained to us, it's lost to Christ. If it's gained for Christ, it needs to be lost for us. Amen. We need to die to self daily and be filled with the Spirit of God. Paul says in verse number 8, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." And if the Lord will help me tonight, I want to preach on this thought, that I may know Him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're here tonight for this very reason, Lord, that we may know You. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would move freely in this place, and Lord, that the Word of God would have free reign in our hearts and minds, free course tonight, Lord, that it would convict us, and Lord, that we might be reproved and rebuked and exhorted in all long-suffering and doctrine as the Word of God is preached. And Lord, I pray that it be preached in power, Lord. It has nothing to do with me, Father. Lord, You know I can't do any of this on my own, but Father, I need Your Spirit's touch tonight, and Lord, I pray that You just help us, Lord, to be led of Your Spirit. Let every utterance given be backed behind with the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I pray, God, that You just help us to see Jesus tonight, and that we leave this place loving You a little bit more than we did when we came. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul says that I may know Him. You and I are somewhat familiar, or at least we should be, with the context of this book. He's writing it to the church. He's addressed the church, how he's going to send to him this young pastor Timothy, and how that he has trust and he has a faithful trust in this young man Timothy. And he's explaining to them in the third chapter that it's not about Paul, and it's not about Timothy, it's not about us, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Him entirely. He says, "I was a Pharisee." He says, I kept the law. I was an Hebrew of Hebrews from the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. He said, I had all these things right religiously, but he said, spiritually I was dead. I remember when Jesus rebuked the Pharisees in the Scripture and He told them that they were as whited sepulchres, that they were on the outside they were clean and they had everything right, but on the inside they were empty and they were cold and they were dead. And I believe that's how many religious people that sit in pews in churches today are. If you're saved by the grace of God, there should be a desire in your heart, just as Paul spoke in this Scripture, to know Christ. Listen to me tonight. If anybody knew God, it was Paul. If anybody walked with Jesus, it was the Apostle Paul. He's not saying that I may know Him by means of salvation. That's already happened. That happened on the road to Damascus, just as Brother Bill talked about in his devotion there here this evening. But he says that I may know Him more, that I may be closer to Him, that I may draw nearer to Him. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, every morning when I wake up, I pray that God would help me to get as close to Him as I can possibly stand. Robert Murray McShane said, Lord, make me as holy as a saved sinner can be. You know what that is? That's a desire to know God. The more you know Him, the more you love Him. Amen. The more I learn about Jesus, the more I read about Jesus, the more I converse with Jesus and talk with Jesus and walk with Jesus, the more that I love Him. Amen. Somebody truly born again is always going to want to know God more. And he says in verse number 10 that I may know Him. And he mentions three things that we're going to examine here this evening. He says, and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. I believe Paul was wanting to know a little bit more about Jesus. He wanted to know about His strength. Amen. It says, and the power of His resurrection. When I think of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think of the power of God. I think of where the Bible says that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to those of us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Every bit of spiritual power that you and I possess that we get from God, because He is the giver of all that power. He is the possessor of all that power. We get from God, we receive through what happened at the resurrection, at Calvary's cross, through the fulfillment and the manifestation and the unfolding drama of redemption that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That message is our power here this evening. We notice the ownership of the strength in Ephesians chapter number 6. Paul would write to the church, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Listen to me, your flesh will fail you every time. Earthly people will fail you every time. If you get your eyes on the pastor, on the preacher, he will fail you every time. But there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, a man who cannot and will not ever let you down, and that is one another. That is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. That's the ownership of that power. That's the ownership of that strength. There's no strength in the church. There's no strength in the preacher. There's no strength in our flesh and in of ourselves. And if we depend upon those things, we will surely fall every time. What did we preach on the other night? He said, be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord. Keep His commandments. He said, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. It's all by the strength that God possesses. Amen. Amen. We see the overcoming of the strength. We read it just a moment ago. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Yea, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I like what the Bible says in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, where it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The key words there are through Christ. Amen. Through God, God gives you the power to overcome your lust, to overcome your wicked desires, to overcome your flesh, to overcome the things that war against your soul daily. As Peter would say, he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims that ye abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. God gives you the power through His glorious resurrection to overcome those things. But it's by His strength. Amen. It's by His power. Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. We can overcome that flesh. We can subdue that flesh and the members of our body in such a way that we're not yielded to these things, but we're full of the Holy Ghost and we're walking in the Spirit and we're obedient servants of God. We can overcome that sin in our life. Christ has the power over death and hell and the grave. I like what the Bible says, that when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive. All those things that held us back from the sin curse that was to befall all of creation, all those things that held us captive, Christ took those things. He destroyed those things. He broke down the middle wall of partition. We're made partakers of the promises of God, and we're joint heirs with Jesus because of His resurrection. If you're going to know Jesus, Paul said that I may know Him, you've got to know about the power of His resurrection. That's where the strength for the Christian life lies. Each and every single day you wake up, it's the strength of the gospel, it's the power of the resurrection, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to keep you going day after day after day after day and living for God. Paul wants to know a little bit about his strength. Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, which fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Amen. You and I can't make it without that strength. You and I can't make it without the power of His resurrection. We've got that overcoming power. Amen. I like the outcome of that strength too. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We just sang it right before we got ready to preach. Victory in Jesus. That's the only claim to victory we have in here tonight. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious gospel of the precious Lamb of God. That's our strength here this evening. Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. He said, I want to know His strength. But listen to me. He said, I want to know His suffering. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. It's interesting that it's phrased that way. The fellowship of His sufferings. Now you and I, no suffering that we can endure on this earth will never be able to comprehend the suffering that Jesus Christ endured on this earth. Nothing that we could suffer would even compare to what Jesus, the darling Son of God, suffered on Calvary's cross. The Bible says that He endured the contradiction of sinners unto Himself. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He became our sin. God the Father looked down upon Jesus the Son as He was made sin for us and had to turn His back on God the Son, and He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" That's a suffering that you and I will never have to know because Jesus experienced it for us. Amen. We have fellowship with God through the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I got to thinking about our own personal sufferings in this life and how that, if I think about it, the times I was closest to the Lord were the times I was suffering. Amen. Listen to me. Anybody can praise God on the mountaintop. Yeah, right. Anybody can praise God when things are going good. Anybody can praise God when you got all your ducks in a row and it seems like every day's sunshine and everything's wonderful and everything's lovely. But when you're down in the valley, when you pray and the heavens feel like brass, when the Bible seems like a closed book and you can't get a hold of God and it seems like everything's falling apart around you and your life's falling to shambles, that's when you can get a hold of God and you can fellowship with Him. The fellowship of His sufferings. Paul said this, listen to me. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly will I therefore rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore will I take pleasure," listen to this, "in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Notice all those things that Paul mentioned were plural. Those were multiple things he was talking about. He said, whether I'm rejected by my brethren, whether I'm physically crippled, whether I have some sort of a need that is just weighing me down and hurt me. He said, whatever it is, he said, I'm going to glory in it because Christ is magnified through those sufferings. The strength of God in the life of the believer, and if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, hear this. The strength of God in the life of the believer is always going to be birthed out of your sufferings. You can't have the power of God till you've been willing to suffer for God. I heard a preacher preach a message years ago that changed my life. He preached on the missing ingredient to the Spirit-filled life. And his opening illustration to the message was that of a weed eater. He said, you can take a weed eater and you can pour gasoline in it and it might run for a little while and it'll make a big noise and it'll make a big bang, but he said it'll burn out, it'll smoke out, it'll fizzle out because it's missing something. He said it's missing that oil. He said, if you're missing that one ingredient, you cannot operate in the power that you need. And he goes on to preach that message, and he said, the missing ingredient oftentimes in the Christian life is suffering. He said, you can lead a Spirit-filled life, but if you want the power of God on your life, you've got to be willing to suffer for it.
Amen.
He said, you need Scripture in the Spirit-filled life. You need to read your Bible. You need to study. You need to get fed every day. You need to beg attendance to preaching and things of that nature. He said you need separation in your Christian life. You've got to be consecrated. You've got to live holy. You've got to live with the desire to please God. He said you've got to have supplications. You've got to be in your prayer closet. You've got to be on your face. You've got to be weeping and sowing precious seed. You've got to be soul winning. You've got to be telling people about Jesus. You can't be a Spirit-filled Christian and not be a soul winner. He said, but suffering is unique to all those things. He said, because we can add the rest of those things to our lives. So we can do that Bible reading, we can do that praying, we can do that soul winning, we can do that consecration and that separating. He said, but we can't add that suffering. That's where we get to know God. That's where we get to fellowship. He said, the fellowship of His suffering. Think about Isaac. When Abraham took him up on Mount Moriah, he said, take now thy son, thine only son. He took the thing that Abraham loved the most in this world. He said, I want you to take him up on top of Mount Moriah and I want you to kill him. And I'm not going to try to get too graphic here tonight, but you get in your Bibles and you look in the book of Leviticus, you look at everything that a burnt offering entails. He's going to have to skin that boy and gut him and piece him up and burn him on that altar. Can you imagine what Abraham's heart felt like? You think of those three boys that refused to bow down to that statue of Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, all right, we're going to pitch you in that furnace right there and you're going to burn alive in front of all of us. Because they didn't bow, because they didn't bend, they didn't burn, amen?
Amen.
And listen to me here tonight. It's not so much that God wanted those boys put in the furnace, and it's not so much that God wanted Isaac dead. It's that God wanted Isaac and Abraham willing. It's that God wanted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego willing to suffer for the cause of God. And what happened? God was magnified through it all, wasn't He?
Amen.
There was a closeness to God and a wonderful, beautiful display of God's power. Luke said, and He said unto them, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. You've got to be willing to suffer for the cause of Christ daily. Listen to me. Taking up your cross is not necessarily just coming to church on Sunday.
Amen.
Taking up your cross is not necessarily just reading your Bible and checking off your chapters and doing your prayers and doing this and that. No, the taking up the cross part is when people start getting upset with you and people start cussing you and people start hating you and people start reviling you and your family turns your back on you. You got people that hate you and people are despising you. That's the shame of the cross that Christ asked for. He says, take up your cross daily and follow Me. John Wesley, back in the old days, they didn't have amplification. He would oftentimes preach in the open air, and people would gather at cemeteries to preach. And he was there, and he was preaching, and there was a great crowd that came out to hear him. And there was a woman back behind the crowd, and she was hidden down behind a tombstone. And as Mr. Wesley would preach, she would stand up and she would scream. She'd say, he's an adulterer. He's a liar. He's a thief. Everything he's saying is a lie. After the meeting had subsided and people had come to Christ and God had moved in that place, Mr. Wesley was leaving and a young man caught him and he said, Mr. Wesley, did you hear that woman? Did you hear that heckler in the back? Did you hear those things she was screaming? And with tears in his eyes, he walked away from the young man and didn't give him an answer. And one of the men who had been traveling with John and Charles Wesley looked to the young man. He said, he heard him, and he's heard him many times. He said, that's his wife. He said, she hates what he does. She despises it. Think of the suffering. Think of the pain and the agony that man had to endure day after day after day to be hated by his own wife. Yet he kept on pressing on with the power of God on his ministry. You want to know God, you've got to be willing to suffer for it. The Bible says the Spirit itself beareth witness in our spirit. We are the children of God, and if children and if heirs, Brother Bill mentioned this, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, so that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For if I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The great English preacher Charles Spurgeon said, I am convinced that the only ones in heaven who will wear a crown were those who bore the cross down here on earth. Amen. You want to know God this morning, let me ask you this question. Do you want to know His sufferings? Do you want to know the pain? Do you want to know the agony? Do you want to know the rejection? Paul said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. And lastly, he says this, being made conformable unto His death. Paul wanted to know something about His strength. He wanted to know something about His sufferings. And he wanted to know something about His similitude. Being made conformable unto His death. The Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that be dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Listen to me. Every Christian needs to die to self. That's something every Christian has to experience, is a complete and total death to self. Because if you get saved, listen to me, the most miserable people in the world are not unsaved people on their way to hell. The most miserable people in the world are backslidden Christians who will not yield themselves to God and will not die to self. Because they are constantly entertaining that war. They are constantly feeding that flesh, and they are starving out the spirit, and they're going to be miserable in their lives because they're not willing to let go of their own desires and let go of their own lusts and die to self and be filled with the Spirit of God. Paul said that I be made conformable unto His death. God's looking for some people who will die to self and be full of the Holy Ghost of God. When we submit ourselves entirely to God, we are likening ourselves to the Lord. Remember what He prayed when He prayed for you and I in Gethsemane? He said, Lord, not my will be done, but Thine. Now, I can't explain all that to you, but I do know this. Jesus submitted Himself perfectly to the will of His Heavenly Father. That's something you and I need to exercise daily in our lives. We need to die daily to self. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was willing to go the ultimate distance. He was willing to go the distance for you and I. Amen. We should be willing to go the distance for Him. We should be willing to give up whatever it is, whenever it is, wherever it is that's holding us back, holding us away from God. David Livingston, when he was 16 years old, prayed this prayer when God sent him out onto the mission field. He said, Lord, send me anywhere. Just promise me that You'll go with me. And he said, break every tie except the one that binds me to You. Look what a great work that man did for God in the continent of Africa. He said, I want to know a little bit about conforming to His death. You know, I was at the hospital a few weeks ago there at Cowell Huntington. My cousin, his wife had a baby. My cousin Colton had their first baby, a son. His name was Logan. And I got an uncle, rough guy. One of the roughest guys you ever meet. And he works about 20 hours a day, and I'm not exaggerating either. He works night shifts at the Toyota plant there in Buffalo, West Virginia. And he gets home from night shift and he builds houses. He's a contractor and he contracts out. He builds houses on rental properties and he sells them and he sleeps about 2 or 3 hours. Then he goes straight back to Toyota, drives all the way there. Now it's his son that had that baby there. I went to the hospital and I showed up and my uncle, he was there. He was asleep. He was passed out in the little futon that you have in the maternity ward bedroom or maternity ward hospital rooms there. And he was asleep there, and I could tell that he was tired and he was worn out. And like I said, he's a rough guy, and all he does is work. I don't think I've ever seen him smile before. And they got that baby out, and he woke up, and he stood up, and my aunt asked him, she said, "You want to hold the baby?" He said, "Yeah, I'll hold the baby." And he took hold of that baby, and he put it in his arms, and he looked down, and he smiled. Just the warmest, happiest smile you've ever seen in your life, looking down at that baby. And he said this. He said, "He looks just like his daddy." You know what God desires of you and I? Is that when he would look at us, he would say, "He looks just like Jesus. He looks just like my son." Paul said, "I want to know him in the similitude of him." He said, "I want to be like him." You know who my hero is here tonight? It's not some preacher. It's not some evangelist. It's not even Paul. It's Jesus. That's who I want to be like. I wonder when my Heavenly Father looks at me what he says. I wonder if he smiles upon me and says, "He looks like my son." I wonder when these sinners, when they look at me, do they say, "Man, Jesus must be real, because that guy loves God. That guy, he's like Jesus." You know, you're the only Bible some people will ever read. You're the only gospel witness some people will ever have in their own life. And the only way you'll be of any effect is if you look like Jesus. Paul said, "That I may know him." Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed in here tonight, I invite you to come to the altar. If you need to pray, if you don't need to pray, come up to the altar and pray for me, because I need it. But I tell you tonight, I want to know him. I want to know the strength and the power of God in my life. I don't want to squander away all the blessings of God. Listen to me. If you're saved, if you're a child of God in here tonight, you have full, complete, and total access to the power of God. The strength of God is at your disposal. How bad do you want to know him? Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to know him through the fellowship of his sufferings? I wonder, how strong is a desire in your heart tonight to be like Jesus? To know him in his similitude? To know him in his submission? I wonder tonight. You might be in here tonight unsaved and on your way to hell. You don't know Christ. Let me tell you, God loves you. He gave his son for you. He was nailed to the old rugged cross. Shed his blood. Died for your soul. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, it's as simple as calling on the name of the Lord. It's as simple as calling on Jesus.